Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and welcome to episode 243 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? You guys are, obviously. I'm getting more and more fans at shows who listen to the podcast, and I definitely appreciate it. I'm coming off two great weekends. I was up at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, which is just outside of Oakland in the Bay Area. That was great. And the Punchline in Atlanta, which I just finished. Also, just a great weekend. And interesting, the reactions to a joke from the two different audiences, which I will get into a little bit later. So the Mueller report is out and the talking heads are going nuts over it. I'm not that into it, and I'll tell you why. Because it hasn't been released. We don't know what's in it. There's that summary letter that came out, but all I really know is there are no new indictments. That's the main thing. There's no new indictments. They're saying it did not prove collusion, but at the same time, McConnell won't let it be released. He's using his power in the Senate to block the release. So obviously, there's something there that they don't want us to know. Now, Baby Hands, he's just saying no collusion, no collusion, but he's an idiot. So I don't really care what he says. My opinion, for what it's worth, and listen, we all have an opinion and we have hope. Two separate things. Hope would be they're all indicted and they're going to jail, but that ain't going to happen. My opinion, the Russians were involved in the election. The Russians were involved with people who worked for the Trump campaign. They did not tell Donald Trump. I don't think he knew about collusion because they know that he's an idiot and they know he's an egomaniac and they knew that he would never be able to keep his mouth shut. So you don't tell him because if he knew, he would say something. That's what I think happened. I don't think it's that important. I think the Democrats need to let go of this Mueller report. It's going to turn into a Benghazi kind of thing where it's like keep investigating, keep talking, and there's nothing there. Nothing's going to happen. Let the Southern District of New York prosecute Trump. They are very good at it. Trump University, the Trump Foundation, they go after the money. They shut his ass down. Let them handle it. I think the Democratic Party needs to simply work on winning the presidency in 2020. I read and I believe because I still see America. America ain't too good. America ain't too bright. Sorry. America, still America. And they said that if the election was tomorrow, Baby Hands would win again. He would talk about the economy as if he has done anything to make it better. And people would be like, yeah, the economy's doing good. And, you know, that's what they say that people vote on. He would do the, the whole anti-abortion thing. The gun people would all vote for him and he would win again. And I believe it. I believe it. I think the Democrats need to, first of all, come together. Come together. Come together. I read things. I used to read USA Today to get an idea of the pulse of, quote, middle America. Just, you know, what people are thinking. Now, I think I see more of that on Twitter. And people on the extreme left who are still, you know, throwing hate and shade at Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Listen, that's not going to get anyone elected in 2020. Okay. I think Bernie's too old. I like Bernie's ideas, but I think he's too old. But if he were the candidate, I would support Bernie. The Democrats have to learn, and I'm not talking about the Democratic power or candidates or politicians. I'm talking about people who consider themselves liberal or Democrat or progressive or any of the above labels need to learn to work together. Get in power and then make things happen. That's what you do. It's not about loving the candidate. It's not about a perfect candidate. It's about get into power and then make changes. It's what the Republicans do. And they do it far too well. Now, Let me talk about this Pleasanton versus Atlanta thing, what happened. So I have a bit about the college scandal, rich kids paying to get their dumbass kids into school. That's basically the title of the bit. Rich people paying to get their dumbass kids into school. And I talk about how they shouldn't, you know, don't complain about affirmative action and just give the kid the $6 million. Why put him in school? Blah, blah, blah. When I was in the Bay Area, people laughed at the bit. They loved the bit. They got it. And they understood everything wrong with this thing of rich people paying for their kids to get into college. My audience there, diverse, black and white. I couldn't give you the exact numbers, but it's great. I do love that. You know, NPR helps with that too. Wait helps with that. But I love the diversity in my crowd. Mix of black and white. Probably all across the economic spectrum, I'm going to guess. You know, I didn't inspect the parking lot to see what kind of cars were there. But, you know, there's definitely some more successful people right in the Bay Area. Some San Francisco people drove across the bridge, et cetera, et cetera. But they laughed at the joke, whether they agreed with it or not. One woman came up to me after the show and she said, well, you know, your Trump stuff was okay, but Pleasanton's conservative, as if I'm going to somehow, I don't know, apologize or explain. Like, I don't care, lady. I'm saying what I'm saying. But anyway, they laughed. They liked the bit. They actually really liked the bit. Then in Atlanta, Thursday night, there was a party at the show. And it was the majority of the audience. It was a company that deals in like hardware and roofing. And this audience looked to me like a bunch of Trump people. I mean, we're in the South. It's all white people. It's that mysterious middle class white working whatever that they call, you know, the code they use. I'm not even going to get into that. But anyway, these people did not like the bit. And I called them out on it. I said, you know, you people, you're protecting rich people who are bribing their kids into college. I said, guess what? You ain't rich. You ain't rich. You guys came here on a bus. They did. They had, you know, charter bus for their party. Rich people don't ride buses. Rich people, well, if they do, there's one of them in the bus that's completely converted to like a rolling home. But see, this is why Trump can win again. Because these are people who, I promise you, got the small tax returns. You know how they said that the average tax return was $3,000 and then this year it dropped to like $700 or something. I promise you these are these people. I talk to them. What do? I do outside sales. I do roofing. I'm a contractor. These aren't multimillionaires who the tax break helped, but they still believe in it. I can't explain why. I can't explain why women support the Republican administration. It was fun. There was a black Republican from Texas on The Daily Show. and basically, you know, Trevor Noah kept asking him, like, but why are you a Republican? And his policies were actually more Democrat. And Trevor's just like, but why are you a Republican? Why are you? And he couldn't answer it because it's ridiculous. But anyway, my point being, their party comes together. Even people who are obviously voting against their own interests still vote just because it's Republican. Maybe they have the religious thing. Maybe they're anti-abortion. Maybe they're pro-gun. Whatever their reason. And the Democrats have to do this. The progressive ideas, listen, I would love reparations for slavery. That ain't going to happen. The Green New Deal is a great policy. Project the policy, but understand you're not going to get all of it. But we do have to start looking at green, at climate change, and use that to try to encourage young voters. Get young people to the polls, because you're not going to change the ideas of these middle-aged and older white people. They're afraid. They're afraid. There was an article in USA Today that said the majority of them hate the idea of this becoming a brown country or people of color being in majority, because they're going to lose American values. Because I guess people of color, you know, don't love their family or don't want their kids to go to school or don't want to own homes. I don't know what American value that people of color don't have, but this is the belief. Belief is what you're up against. Perception is what you're up against. You're not up against reality or truth or facts or reading. No, you're up against perception. So get it together. I was definitely surprised by that, but it was an eye opener. Now, people voting against their best interests, people voting Republican, it's fascinating to me how much people screw themselves. Remember 2008? You probably do, but apparently a lot of people don't. One of the results of the economic crisis was regulating Wall Street. Now, we wanted Wall Street bankers to go to jail, but we didn't get that. But there were regulations, and these regulations are being removed. Understand, when Trump got elected, another great article I saw, there were people from the oil business at the Ritz-Carlton in Laguna. Fantastic hotel. I've been there. Not to stay, but to do a gig. But still, magnificent hotel. And they were laughing out loud. They were so happy Trump got elected and that their new oil, regulations were going to be done by an oil guy. They were literally laughing out loud. You know, Wall Street is laughing out loud. There was a law passed that stopped, a policy from the Treasury Department, that stopped companies from offering lump sum payouts for pensions. See, people had worked all year, worked all their life, developed a pension. What they would do is they would offer you a lump sum. This is kind of like that, if you ever see those commercials for J.G. Wentworth to give you a lump sum on your lawsuit payment. Yeah, they're going to give you a big check, but it's not going to be as much money as you would have collected had you, waited for your pension, right? So their idea is give you this lump sum. This is old Don King move, when Don King would show boxers $100,000 in cash and their eyes would get wide and they'd sign a horrible contract and lose all their money to Don King. That's what this is. This is why this was banned, why they stopped them from doing it, because you take advantage of people. You give them this one lump sum, and then when that money's gone, it's gone, and they're not getting the rest of their pension. And you know that these corporations and bankers and hedge fund managers, et cetera, are not going to give you a fair deal when they do this. Now, that regulation is gone. Another regulation, and it's amazing that the government had to put this in writing. After the crash of 08, they said that personal finance managers, people who you go to run your money, had to put your interest first. They actually had to tell them that financial advisors had to put the client's interest ahead of their own. And you know what? That rule has been repealed. That's been taken away. So now let's put it together. You worked 30 years, 40 years. You retire. They give you a big check. Say they give you a check for even $1 million, right? So you get this check. Now you're like, what do I do? I don't know what to do with $1 million. Well, I'm going to go to a financial manager, a financial planner. But the financial planner is no longer under any pressure to put your interest first. His or her interests are going to be in the interest of their own commissions, their company growing, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you're screwed. You're screwed. This is why they wanted to keep Wall Street out of Social Security. Imagine if under George Bush, Wall Street had gotten a hold of the Social Security fund. By 08, it would have been gone. So these are the kind of things people vote against their own interests, but they're not thinking because they sucker them into voting for, we going to stop baby killing. Ain't nobody baby killing. We going to stop baby killing. And whatever other, then the Mexicans are coming to get you. They're coming every time. Did you ever notice there's only an immigrant caravan around an election? You know, I haven't seen a picture of the immigrant caravan lately, but I bet it'll be back next year, guaranteed. Here's an idea, Democrats. Listen to AOC. AOC, this woman this phenomenal woman is killing it. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the freshman congresswoman from the Bronx, that's their first mistake. They think they're up against a freshman congresswoman. They up against a Puerto Rican bartender from the South Bronx. You going to try to challenge that? You're going to get your ass whooped. So she talked about the Green New Deal, right? Dealing with climate change, the environment, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing they tried to do was add an amendment to the bill right before it, you know, that nobody read right before it came up. And then they talked about the Green New Deal. This is a quote from Sean Duffy, Republican congressman from Wisconsin. The Green New Deal is one of that. If you're a rich liberal from New York or California, it sounds great because you can afford to retrofit your home or build a new home that has zero emissions, that is energy efficient, affordable, it's safe, etc. So that's their thing. It's elitist. It's New York and California. First of all, let me tell you, if I had to retrofit my home, I'd be moving. We ain't all rich. But I love that people think I'm rich. No, I'm not rich. I'm heavily in debt. I'm doing well. I'm okay, but I ain't rich. Anyway, AOC came back at him and just beautifully. Just here's part of what she said. When we talk about the concern for the environment as an elitist concern, 1 year ago, I was waitressing in a taco shop in downtown Manhattan. She said, I just got health insurance for the first time a month ago. This is not an elitist issue. Want to tell people that it's elitist? Tell it to kids in the South Bronx. Tell it to families in Flint, Michigan. Tell it to farmers in the Midwest whose farms are flooded and underwater. And I'm just paraphrasing. Look it up on YouTube. The woman destroyed them. She took them down. Elitist, my ass. So why is clean air and water elitist? I'm going to tell you my personal experience with this. As everyone knows, I live in L.A., and I've been in L.A. since the 80s. When I moved here, the air was brown. The air in L.A. was brown. The smog was famous. You could see it. Like when an airplane came down, you could see this layer of brown over the city. California has very strict emissions regulations. And you know, I'm a gearhead. You know, I love cars and motorcycles and stuff like that. But we have strict emissions regulations, smog testing, et cetera, leads country in most of these areas. You know what? The air's clear. Yeah, it worked. It took about 20 years. It did. It took a long time. But it worked. Climate change is real. Emissions regulations are real and they work. Now, how do the Republicans come back? Well, Senator Mike Green, I believe his name is. Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, argued against the Green New Deal. And he came up with pictures and it started with Reagan on a horse with a sword. And he said, this is much to do with overcoming communism as the Green New Deal has to do with overcoming climate change. Then he showed a picture of a tauntaun. I'm not making this up. Look it up. Look up Mike Lee and speech on YouTube or Google it. He showed a tauntaun and from Star Wars saying, oh, this was green because the animal has no carbon emissions and it's recyclable, because if there's a scene where they cut the tauntaun open for the, you know, body heat inside to save Luke Skywalker. Then he showed a picture of Aquaman riding a 20-foot seahorse and said they can use this in Hawaii. The point being, they listen, ignorance, right? They don't understand the issue and they refuse to believe science. Their hatred of women and people of color, which is a 1-2 whammy with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's disgusting and it's ridiculous. They dismiss, but it works. That's the worst thing about it, is it works. So she comes at him with real people's lives and climate change is real scientists, and they come back with pictures of Aquaman and Reagan on horseback and they get the votes. So this is the election And again, this is just my opinion. And you know, I think right now we're in the reality show phase. There's too many candidates. There's no way to pick any one of these as real. But there's going to be a lot of sorting out before they find a Democratic candidate. But the Democrats got to come together. And you got to look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as leading this liberal charge and listen to her and see what young people are saying and really listen and respect it. That's my opinion. Enough out of me on that. Jussie Smollett. Listen, as you probably heard, you know, I can't write bits fast enough. I had a whole Jussie Smollett bit. Now they done dropped the damn charges. I don't really know what's going on here, but it seemed, well, they did drop the charges against Jussie Smollett, and it seems to be, they said that they would accept the $10,000 he put up as bail, and he did some community service. Now it's coming out that Jussie Smollett had friends who contacted the state's attorney, Kim Fox, and she was able to pull some strings and, you know, get some stuff done, get a federal investigation and take the case away from the Chicago PD and so on and so forth. And I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened. And I don't know how I feel about it because, you know, if Jussie is guilty, which I think he is, and he got away with it because he got connections to people in the state attorney's office. You know, I always like when a brother beats the system. I mean, that's how rich white people do it. Same thing. I got a friend. I made a phone call. He made a phone call. The fixer got in. And, you know, this woman, Kim Fox, is the next one who will be under investigation. Why? Because they use texts. Okay, here's the thing. Here's a Jussie. If you're listening, if you know Jussie, get this to Jussie. Learn to do crime. Jussie, you got to watch mob movies and Law and Order and shit. You got to learn. You don't write checks and you don't use texts. You imagine the mob texting each other? No. When you send a text, there's a history. What you do is you meet face to face and you talk. You don't use phones. You don't use email. You don't use text. You're doing dirt. You're doing dirt, Jussie. Face to face, you talk and you deal in cash. Then there's no record. Okay? Get that to Jussie. Help a brother out, please. Us is the number one movie in America, proven once again. Jordan Peele kills it. I haven't seen the movie. I hear the movie is excellent. Go see it. LeBron James didn't make the playoffs for the second time. I think it's only the second time in his career. First time in I don't know how long. And the talking heads are having a ball with what's wrong with LeBron and the Lakers. Hey, the team ain't that good. He's a phenomenal player. Young players around him, not that good. Terrible coach. And they didn't make the playoffs. Talk all you want. If you want to talk about LeBron, watch The Shop. It's an HBO series that he does where he sits in a barbershop because, you know, that's where men be kicking it, which, you know, I got a bald head. I ain't been to a barbershop in a while. But they talk. It's great. It's people from Jamie Foxx to 2 Chainz to, you know, athletes, entertainers, just various celebrities and people. And they talk. And, you know, one of the things that struck me was when LeBron talked about he's been famous since he was 17. You know, when he was 17, when he was a junior in high school, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and ESPN started televising high school basketball games. Imagine that kind of pressure. Imagine that notoriety. And he's done fine. And he's done fine. So I am still a big LeBron fan. I buy his shoes on a regular basis because, you know, he might need the money. So I just buy a pair of LeBrons every now and then. The NCAA tournament is the greatest thing in sports. It is the greatest thing in sports. All due respect to the World Cup, to the Super Bowl, or any of that. But why? Because these kids play their heart out. If you saw the game between Duke and UCF, it was everything you can imagine. They're young kids. They're playing their heart out. They make mistakes. But they, you know, and the joy of winning, the crying of losing, I guarantee you That game will be a memory for everyone who played in it for the rest of their life. Listen, I'm not a fan of the NCAA and their pimping of athletes. They take advantage of these kids. It's criminal. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that Lori Lohan or whatever the hell that actress name is, her daughter was an influencer and got paid a ton of money by Amazon and who knows who else for being a fake athlete in college that she bought her way in. And real athletes can't get money from Nike, Reebok, Under Armour, and everybody else. The coach can, but they can't. You talk about an influencer, you think Zion Williamson isn't an influencer? Come on. But anyway, getting past all of that, just the way they play their hearts out, you really got to watch it. It's amazing. So the tournament, we're going to the Sweet 16, which is great. Finally, let me say, let's be nice to each other, okay? Let's be nice to each other. We become more and more shitty as people, as time goes on. The ultimate was, if you saw this video, it's one of the most disturbing things you ever see. Some guy on the subway kicked a 74-year-old woman in the face and head repeatedly. And people recording it were going, ooh, and they didn't stop him. They let him kick this woman repeatedly. Now, fortunately, once the video came out, they found him. They arrested him. I hope he went to Rikers Island and he meets some convicts there who have a grandmother. I hope they have a nice little talk with him. And I think it will. I think this is going to be a case of prison justice, and it couldn't happen to a bigger piece of shit guy. But getting away from that extreme, etiquette. Listen, I'm in public and we're not good. So here's a few things that came up. This was on a Reddit thread and it said, what is a basic rule of etiquette that everyone should know, but not everyone follows? Number one, let others off before you get on. Yeah. What is with people in elevators? Get out of the way. Subway trains, get out of the way. Let the people out before you get on. It ain't going anywhere. Okay. Listen to the content of what other people are saying before replying. People don't listen. They just wait for their turn to talk. Oh, I love this one. When walking with several friends on a sidewalk, pair up two by two instead of everyone walking in a row so others can pass. Yes, people spread out. I call it the Vegas walk, because if you're in a casino in Vegas, people have a way of walking. They take up enough space that you can't get around them. You can't get between them. And they walk slow. They do it on the sidewalk. Except in New York. New York, I like. They'll just walk through you. Headphones aren't optional in a public space. No one wants to hear your music or your video clips. Get your headphones. Get your earbuds. Stop it. Number five, I like this. Be the fuck aware of your surroundings when walking in crowded areas. Yeah, get your head up. Get your face out of your phone. Look where you're going. You don't always have to have an opinion. Saying I don't know is fine. Oh, that would be great. When someone shows you a picture on their phone, don't swipe left or right. You're crazy if you hand someone your phone. You're just asking for them to look through your pictures. Don't touch people unless they say it's okay. Again, you would think people would know this, but no, it's amazing. The worst offense, people touch black women's hair. I don't know, to see if it's real or something like that. Don't yell at customer service reps. Yeah. Wash your hands after using the bathroom. I see that so much. I see so many men just pee and walk out, and it is horrible. Don't piss all over the toilet seat. You would think that your mother taught you better than that. You know, do not give out someone else's number without their permission. Don't give out the number. All right. You don't do that. I like number 15. Just straight up pick up your dog's shit. Please don't text while driving. Again, this is all stuff that should be common sense. Here's one. I like number 19. It's rude to fuck around on your smartphone when someone's trying to have a conversation with you. There's a thing about the phone, and people do this in businesses. I see this quite often at cash registers or service desks or hotels when checking in. Why do they think the person on the phone is more important than the person standing in front of them live? They put the phone person on hold. And if you got a smartphone and you need to check your text or something, at least say, excuse me. Maybe I was expecting something important or I got to take this call, you know. Do not send unsolicited nude photos. Check with Congress. That never goes well. Many congressmen, yeah. Mm-hmm. Never ask anyone if they're going to have kids. That's just, again, you would think common sense, but no. And here's wave a thank you if someone lets you merge in traffic. If someone lets you merge, if someone lets you out of a parking spot, if someone, just the wave. What happened to the wave? I remember the wave. The wave is gone. Be nice to people. Life is stressful enough. We got enough bullshit we got to deal with day to day. Just be nice. Give someone a break. I love you guys. Thanks for listening to me ramble on. That's all I got. Next week, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. From April 1st to April 7th, I'm going to be at the MGM Grand doing Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, which I absolutely love. Come to Vegas. You know what? Just come to Vegas. Whatever you're doing, drop it. Come to Vegas. Let's bet that tax money. The week after is tax week. Thanks for listening. This is Alonzo. Bye.